We're continuing the sugya in Kuf Chav Gimel Mar Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara said, "Vaminei Rabbi Chalbo mi Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini." It's important to pay attention because we're going to see later on that the Rebbe of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini is Rabbi Yonasan. So, "Vaminei Rav Chalbo asked from Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Maro Yaakov shenatal bechora mi Ruuvein v'natna li Yosef." Right? What did Yaakov see? That he removed the Bechor from the firstborn, from the Reuven, and we gave it to Yosef, like we learned yesterday in the Divrei Hayamin. Answers the Gemara. What do you mean, interjects the Gemara? Ma'ra, what do you mean Ma'ra? The Torah, it says it straight out, the reason. In Divrei Hayamin, it says, Uvnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, Kihu abachor uvechalilo yitzue aviv. Right, we learned yesterday in Divrei Hayamim that the reason for there is because of what happened between Reuven, Bilhah, the father Yaakov, and Leah. That whole incident, which we're going to talk about towards the end of the shir. That's the reason. Whatever he did. What's the question? Ela, rather the question is, Ma'ra'a, not why he took it away from Reuven, but what specifically should not li Yosef? Why give it to Yosef? Emshal lecha mashal. The Gemara says, I'll give you, he gives him with a mashal, a parable. Ma'adavar dome, labala bayit she gidel yatom betoch beito. What happened? The bala bayit that raised a orphan within his house, and the Rashbam explains the parable, even though the Marsha asks, I didn't ask you to see this Marsha, that this parable is not exact, but it says that the Baal HaBayit here is Yosef, the Yatom is Yaakov, and the reason is because during the famine, we know that Yosef was providing the sustenance, the financial sustenance to his father Yaakov. So it says to a Baal HaBayit, Shegidel Yatom B'toch Beito, and then Liyamim, then couple days, Heshir Oto Yatom. Then that Yatom hit the jackpot, became more wealthy. Va'amar, he says, what am I going to do with my newfound fortune? Who should I give it to? Ahami le'Baal HaBayit minechasai. I'll make sure to what? To give to the Baal HaBayit who is so good to me from my nechasin. So to over here, that explains the Rashbam, the Mashal, or the Nimshal in Dibra Maschel Lesov Heashir, is that Lesov Yaakov now got this Bechor Reuven as a result of what Reuven did of Chilel Yitzui Aviv. He can give it to whoever he wants. So who did he give it to? He gives it to Yosef, who gave him the finances, who supported him till now. Amale, Rav Shmuel, Rav Chalbo answers Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, V'ilav dechatar Reuven, lo mahani leli Yosef v'lo midam. If it was not for the chait of the Reuven, then he would not have felt any type of hakarat tov to give. The Yaakov wouldn't have felt any type of hakarat tov to give him all the brachot that he gave him in Parshas Vayechi. Rashbam explains bitmia, as we know. What do you think? Klomar, ma natan Yaakov li Yosef? What did Yaakov give to Yosef? Shari mechalek, shar achin, hosiflo. Shari mechalek, shar echa achin, hosiflo. Aval mishalo lo natan lo klum. What did he give him? He didn't give him anything. The mishalo havilo laha noto. If he has a karata tov for what he's doing, he's got to give something from himself, not from others. But we have to say either he gave him, he had to give him something. Right? So what is he giving him? And therefore we have to explain that the Bechor, there's got to be a different reason why he gave the Bechor of Reuven to Yosef. Because just Stam, there's got to be some certain Hakarat HaTov, not because of the Chet. So what is the Gemara answer? Ela Rab Yonatan Rabcha Lo kachamar, he said, didn't you, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, your Rebbe, Rav Yonatan, he said, this is the reason why it went to Yosef. Lo kachamar ruuya haita bechora latzeit mi Rachel. The bechora should come from the matriarch Rachel. Tichtiv ele todot Yaakov Yosef. That we know at the beginning of Parsha Vayeshev, it says that the first progeny, the first children of Yaakov is Yosef. And here again, the Marsha, again a Marsha that I didn't ask you to see, but the Medrash says Ela Todot Yaakov, right? It should have said that the whole point of the whole point of Yaakov working was only for Rachel, right? When Yaakov worked the 14 years, or right, the many years that he worked, it was all for Rachel. But Ela Todot Yaakov Yosef. So what happens here? Ela shekadmata Leah berachamim, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Leah, through her tefillah, was able to get it. But mitoch tzniut shahaita ba berachel, because of the tzniut of Rachel, which the famous story that we know, hichzira kadosh baruch hu la, it went back to Yosef. Gemara says, what is this ping pong here? My kadmata lea berachamim dichtiv ve'inei lea rakot, as opposed to what Rashi and the Targum Onkelos talk about, that it's einei lea or yafin. We all learned that rakot means soft and tender. Where do we get it from? From this Gemara. My rakot, ilei merakot mamash, does it mean that it's actually what? What does rakot mean? It's talking about something negative here, right? Ilei merakot, so what would that mean? Efshar bignud behemat me'al lo diber hakatuv dichtiv mina behemah torah mina behemah asher inena torah and bignud tzadikim diber hakatuv. So what did the Gemara think it meant? What did the Gemara think Rakot meant?
Havamina was crying and rejected and said, no, it can't be, we don't speak negatively.
Right, does it mean eineha, Rashbam explains, eineha notfot dima. Notfot means that like they're dripping from tears. How's that negative? That her, why is crying negative? Why is that a gnai? The Marsha explains ki rakot ha'inayim is gnai gadol li'isha. The Marsha explained that this idea, I guess, of all of her eyes, this softening of the eyes, is bad, as the Gemara says, hanosei isha yivdog be'ineha, shenemar hine yafa inayich. So there's something that her eyes don't look good. It takes away from the beauty of a woman. That's why. It can't be talking about that. But here already you saw, what was the idea? Efshar bignut behemat me'alu dibera katuv tichtiv by Noach. That the Torah goes out of its way to not use the negative terminology of tmeah. It adds 8 letters. Mina behema Torah. Umina behema shereinena Torah. So bignut tzadikim dibera katuv. Therefore, it can't be. But, as we'll get back to in a second, Ela Marabalazar Shematnotea Arukot. What does that mean? Eineha Rakot means that what? Not Eineha Rakot. Eineh Leah Rakot. It's talking about what? It's talking about that from Leah is going to come what? The Matanot, the idea of the Levim, the Kahuna, right? So Rakot is... There's a drash here of arukot, that it's aruch, that's going to be lenetzach, that you're going to, that the role of the Levim and the Kohanim, everything there, that's great. Now, Rav disagrees, and this is what the original Gemara, before we get to talk about one of the issues I wanted to talk about, Rav, and this is what the Gemara had said, no, it's talking about rakot mamash, And it's not a gnai, but rather it's a shevach. What's the shevach? Shaita shomat. Al parshat rachim bnei adam shayu omrim shnei banim yesh la l'rivka, Yaakov and Esav. Shnei banot yesh lo l'lavan, which is who? Two daughters, Rachel and Leah. Gidolah l'gadon l'ktana l'katan. Vaita yoshevet al parshat rachim. Says it to us a second time. Umishelet gadol mama asav. So then, what was this? What does the first guy do? Ishrahu milastein briot. Esav is a person who's a stealer. Katan mama asav ishtam yoshev olim. Vaita bocha ad shenishru risei eneha. Okay, and then she cried her eyes out until the eyelids were plucked out. Okay, again, my snua, ile masnua mamash, efshar odpam, bignut beimat mealo di berakatu, bignut tzadikim di berakatu, ela ra'a kadosh baruch hu shesnuim ma'ase isav befaneha. She couldn't stand being attached to Isav, and therefore, vayiftach et rachma. Because of this tefillah, she then became, because of the tefillah, then what happened? She now was to be able to get Reuven, to be able to get the zchut of the Bechorah. Okay. Before we move on to a couple of the other points.
I didn't even give that. I meant to give that.
Okay. The first thing I asked you to see, even though we're going to talk about, it's not chronological, so we're going to talk about the second part. The first thing is this idea of how you speak. Right? It says that the Torah goes out of its way and says what? To make sure to add words. We know every letter is important in the Torah. I've mentioned this before in earlier Shirim, that what? Every letter is important. That's not just like the little Medrash says. That's how we know that what? How do you know that every letter is important? Because if one letter is messed up, then what happens? Torah is possible. Right? Why is every letter important? The Ramban says, because every letter of the Torah is a part of Shem Hashem. Every letter is part of Shem Hashem. That's Kriyuk Tif. That's the question of how you read things and written. That's Mesorah. But every letter is important. You mess up a letter. This is why it's called Shem Hashem. Okay? Now, so there's got to be a significance here that what happens? We are now saying that we go out of its way to be able to la'akim, to distort, to even lengthen, to be able to make sure not to talk about Gnut. Now there's two. There's a very important question which Oscar asked from the Meiri, which is, what are you talking about? You're telling me it doesn't say min ha'beima t'meya. It goes out of its way and says asher inena Torah. The obvious question which the Rishonim asked, which is, and many times in the Torah, it says the word Tameh. So how can you say that the Torah doesn't say, ha ha, I'm going to teach you a lesson to go and add letters, because I'm not going to say Tameh, but it does say the word Tameh many times. Yeah. So why in the first case, why in the case?
When there's a way to get yourself out of it, fine. When there's a way, you just have to write, like,
So that's maybe one way to answer. One way to answer.
You can always tell it with that
word. Why not say the all every time lo tahor? If that's true. If the idea the word tameh is absolutely horrific, then it should never say it.
Yeah, but if you want to say
The fullest sense is you should never say the word tummy.
No, because you want to show the negative impact it has. Why would you be in that version?
The
That's the whole concept.
That's the whole concept. And the concept is the other way. Right?
No, he's saying, like, when you're talking about which animals are on the table, so you would say these animals go on, which are taller than ones that aren't, or are not taller, don't go on, but they also go on. And you're saying, like, that, we don't include that guy because he's not so taller. But if you want to clarify the status of the person, say, he's a Mitzora, he's a Tzora.
Because there's no non-conviction, no taller than Tzora, and that's a lot of nice ideas.
You're trying to, what you want to say is by saying tame, you want to say that it's much more strong. But that's it. The whole point of this is the opposite of what you're saying, right? V'alo bignut be'imat me'a, like for example, the Rashbam said, lo ratzakuv akatuv l'daber, but rather it's ikeim shmone otiyo dichtiv asher inena teora, that there are 13 letters, and it could have written just the word hatme'a, which would be 5 letters. There's girsa'ot issues here. We're not going to get into it, right? So why would you do that? But again, as we had said, I showed you the Meiri that said, right, the Meiri says clearly that we know that there are times it says the word Tameh. Right, if you look at the Meiri in Pesachim, V'afa pisha Torah k'tiv Tameh v'kama mekomot, the word Tameh is written. So one answer that some of the Rishonim, including the Meiri, says is what? It could very well be that there's a difference in Tameh in one context and the Tameh in a different context. Otama mekomot im bahem lashon migune shetimea katuv batorah. It could very well be that those times it's a different level. Meaning, if it's talking about machulot, tameh doesn't mean what it means here. Tameh there, tameh is a synonym for asur. Or if it's bimaga, the tumeyot again by being tameh by touching it is not as much ginah. But by Noach, the tuma that I was talking about was what? It was talking about that the animal had relations. Shebol otan shenevra bahen avira, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, umi katmei mutorim bahu shata el mi otam shalot. Right, that time tum and tara didn't have the same context as later on in the time of the Beit Hamikdash, and therefore that's what it was saying over here. It wasn't just I'm talking about tamei of impure. It had a certain specific connotation of what, of with arayot, of lascivious and licentious relations. And therefore, that's why the way you know that when the table would accept them is that what? That Yadua Shalom Nevra Bahem Avira. How would you know that the Teva accepted them? That which is what? It's the opposite of what you're saying, which means when it used the word Tameh, it wasn't as bad. It was the opposite of what you said. He was saying that when there was the word Tameh in the text, in the other times, those were synonyms for the word Asur, or spiritually impure, because dealing with death. Here, the word Tameh, which was not used by the time of Noah, was because it had the connotation of having illicit relations. And that the Torah went out of its way not to use.
But so that just seems like, I'm saying, part of that, that seems like a non-kosher animal. If you want to say that things are different, that enough, the animals are so dead, it's like terrible. It seems to be implying that when you talk about non-kosher animals, like it's worse for an animal. Like worse, whatever you want to say, like more tummy for a non-kosher animal than something that's actually more disgusting.
I don't know what you just said. Say one more time.
I hear what I'm saying. It's weird. It seems that I got the concept that since this.
I understand Harry's concept also. That if you want to show that it's so bad, say the word tameh. I understand that, but here we're going the other way. And the question is why we're going the other way. Number one is to come out and say it's true. And the Gemara continues and says that what? When there are times to say what? To say things that are more naki if possible, you do say that.
But it's like, I don't know, feel like it's like, let's say you have like someone killed somebody, right? So you say, oh, he's not innocent, but the person who stole $5, oh, he's guilty. Like, it seems to be weird.
Let's continue reading on with the Meir. The Meir, he says, let me bring you a proof. Because the Meir, he brings a proof to say, how about a case, for example, of a Baal Keri, a person who has a seminal emission. Ki yebecha, the Pasuk again, in Parashat, in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, Nu, it's Parashat Shemini, Tazria, I think it's Shemini, Vayikra Yidal, if I'm not mistaken. It says, ki yebecha, or Tazria, I think, actually. Ki yebecha ish, Asher lo yiyya tahor mikre laila. And also says, bilti tahoru, ki lo tahoru. Again, what does he say? Shekosh yesh bo lashon gnai. If there is a certain lashon of gnai, it possible, ra'ui laharich ula'akem shelo lo tzio bepeh. As much as possible, it's worthy of the Torah's time to try as much as possible to elongate and add extra letters so that it doesn't come out. Even though other times, again, the Torah does come out and say, Asher teitzei mimenu shechvat zera. And there, then he says, that's not Lashon Ganai, because that's just telling me the idea of having relations for the prolonging or the propagation of mankind. But Keri, that's coming for Hir Hur of Chet, then that's Lashon Ganai. And therefore you should elongate it. Which means the Meiri is coming to tell you that there's times when, that what? If it's going to what? Leave. I think within this Meiri, I don't know if you got to see the Rabbeinu Yonah that I mentioned, just give me a second. The Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shara Gimel also something very similar. Rabbeinu Yonah Rishon, he says in Shara Gimel of Shari Tshuva, when quoting this Gemara, he wants to say that the whole concept, not like Meiri, that when it says Umin HaBeima Asher Inena Torah, at that point the word Beima Tmeya was mutter for eating, but not tahor for a korban. And therefore the language of miguneh there is to talk negatively of how you're eating something. And therefore, listen to his language, and this is similar to the Meiri. V'hinei chayav adam lihizaher shelo yotzi mipiv davar miguneh. You have to make sure not to have things come out of your mouth. Gam even if it means that you're going to speak more words. And look at what he says. This is built in. It's almost what we call an isarase. It's a negative. It's a built-in siag for what we would call cursing in the vernacular. To make sure not to have nibble pet. It's better to say more words if your word is going to be, if you are not going to what? If you're not going to curse. It's also a gather built in of saying Lashon Hara. Okay? And then he learned from our Gemara on Baba Basar Kufchav Gimel. Meaning, we have this idea of a lot of people use or what I would call the word crass in how they speak. This is all part of it. Okay? Being able to use much more dignified language. When people use the word of urinating, okay, they use the language with, I'm not going to say it, they use it with the word pee. Okay, peeing is better with what the way the when they say they're angry, they use the word pi, whatever it is, as opposed to saying I'm angry. It's part of this issue of how do you come off when a person has messed you over in business. You say the word messed over. You don't use the word like a screwdriver to say I got messed over. That it's just lacking within this language here. Obviously, again, I think, Harry, with all respect, and I have a lot of respect, when we're influenced, that a lot of people are going to use what we call the F curse or the S bomb, because it either makes people laugh or it gets your point that you're really angry. And that's where I think you're influenced from, to say, look, they're going to really know that I'm angry if I use that word, as opposed to saying, you know, fudge, you know, to be able, so again, but that's what the Torah doesn't want that. The Torah is saying that from here, that there are times that you have to go out of its way, the Torah went out of its way, to be able to say that these are not things that it's going to even go, and that's where I asked you to see the Rashi and Maseches Pesachim also, that the Torah went out of its way, at least one time, to tell you what, to make sure that this is an important value in how we speak and how we are represented as B'nai Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even within Himself, as we know, made sure that the Torah added extra letters about this significance. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Meiri Rashi in Psachim. That was point one, which I wanted you to see. Point two, which I wanted to discuss, there's a couple other points that I want to discuss, but point two is the earlier part that you saw, which we saw yesterday in Divrei Hayamim, which is a fascinating discussion of what? Of Reuven. What did Reuven do? Okay, we know that what happens in Parshat Vayichi, that we know Reuven gives brachos, that Yaakov gives brachos to his children on his deathbed. And and Reuven, what does he call Reuven? What does he say to Reuven? He says to Reuven that he's impetuous. Pachas kamayim al totar. Okay, yeter se'it v'yeter az. Okay, by Reuven, this pasuk, he says, Reuven b'chori ata. You're my b'chor. Kochiv reshitoni. This is Perek Mem Tet, Pasuk Gimel. You're my b'chor. You're the strength. Yeter se'it v'yeter az. And Rashi and Onkelos there says that Yaakov's turning to Reuven and saying, you should have been yeter. You should have had more se'et, like we saw. Yeter means from the word and nesi'ut, from the se'et is you should have had the ability of nesi'ut kapayim. It should have come from, not from Shevet, it should have come from you, from Reuven. Yeter oz, from the melucha. Yeter yitain oz l'malko. It should have come from you and you should have been more than your brothers. You should have had double, as we saw the Bechor. Pishnaim, what we learned yesterday. V'lo li'ityaches le'bechora. But what's the reason not? Because of pachas kamayim al totar. Ki alita mishkevei avicha. Az chilalta. The same pasuk, the same words that are used. That Divrei Hayomim is following the pasuk in Mem, Tet, Pasuk Dalet. Az chilalta yitzui ala. Your impetuousness caused that you're not going to have that yet there, al totar. You're not going to be more than your brothers. It's caused you to lose it. The kuna will be given to Levi. The malchut will be given to Yehuda. The chelik bechoro will be given to Yosef because of Ephraim and Menashe, like we said yesterday. What did he do? Three opinions in the Gemara. What did he do? Az chilalta yitzui Allah. What did he do? Three opinions. What did he do? Anybody know? What did he do? Three opinions. Number pshat is, one opinion is he moved the bed. What does it mean, move the bed? What happened? Who died? Rachel died. Good. Rachel died. And then, so what did Reuven do? Three opinions. One opinion in the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Nun Hey is that he moved the bed into, from where to where? From Bilhah the maidservant to Leah his mother. That's one opinion. That's like the more accepted opinion because it's as the least egregious sin. What's the sin that he did there if he did that? What's the sin if he did that? What did he do wrong for that? Right? He was over the Kavadav because the father, Yaakov, what did he do? He put the bed in Bilhah's room for
embarrassing
for us. Okay. So that they say zilzul kvodah. That's like the least of our problems. What are the two other opinions? One opinion is that what? Well, the exact language of the pasuk is what? Vayishkav in Bilhah. Right? It says Vayishkav, which means what? That Reuven had relations with Bilhah. That's pretty bad. What's the third opinion? Right? The second opinion is that he had relations with the concubine of his father. The third opinion is that he thought to have that chait of sleeping with the concubine, with Bilhah, but he was mitgaber. Three different opinions of the Gemara. Okay? Now within this, I asked you to see, you didn't get to see it yet, but I highly encourage you to see the Sicha of Rav Nemtzah. It's a major, major discussion of how do you learn Tanakh with this piece. Because what happens? Well, just to add the piece of the puzzle. So we have three opinions. All three opinions agree that Reuven did some sort of chit. But then we have to deal with the Gemara in Shabbat Nun Hey. That what? Well, we know Machshevet of an Avera is Mitztarif also. That's by Avodah Zarah. Okay. Hirur Avera. Okay. Can I look at the Gemara there also?
That's worse than actual.
I didn't say it's worse, but it's three opinions of the Gemara.
I'm saying you said the first one seems to be the least relevant.
Then thoughts. I mean, the thought.
Actually, moving the bed versus.
Moving the bed versus thoughts of sleep. Again, maybe, depending on how bad you think Arias are. Also, you know, on the Avera meter. But the problem is, the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that anybody who says that Reuven sinned is mistaken. Kol HaOmer, the exact language of the Gemara in Shabbos Nun Hey is what? Kol HaOmer, Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmini of Yonasan, Kol HaOmer Reuven Chata Ino El Toeh. Anyone who says that Reuven sinned is mistaken, which seems to be extremely problematic when we have three opinions of the Gemara that all agree. Now, it might be different levels of the sins, but they all agree that there was some sort of sin. So what do you do? Here comes a major, major polemic in our modern world of how do you learn Tanakh? And you have extremes here, real extremes of how you understand to learn here. So I'll tell you what Rav Nemetzal says and how he understands it, and I'll tell you how others understand it also. Rav Nemetzal explains that you have to understand, when you learn Tanakh, right, you have the actual literal words of what they mean, and then obviously, just like in anything you learn, you have the context. Okay, you have to understand what the context is also. And then the third level of learning Tanakh is not only the words, not only in the what we would call the local context, but then you have to see the broader context, which is, for example, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Midrashim, etc. Meaning, so in this case, you don't just look at this one small parshia of Reuven, and obviously this applies to Yehuda and Tamar, it applies to everything. You explain what is Reuven ben Yaakov in all of Tanakh, all of Divrei Chazal, and if this one small parshia, you want to say, look, Reuven is a scum, then that's a big stira to him being Shiftei Ka, there's a certain problem there. It's a stira. Okay? Oh, so again, even there, no, he's gonna have to deal with what? That he's not perfect either. He's gonna have to agree that ain't tzadik ba'aretz asher yasev lo yechta also. The question is, how far do you say of the chet? Meaning, so he's gonna say, for example, he gives a good example. He says, when a kid, you say to use the exact same language that my son knows how to speak. He quotes of Chaim Dover Binowitz. That says, my kid knows how to speak. So what does it mean? The exact same language. So if you're talking about an 8-month-old, so that means is that he knows how to say Abba and Ima. Right? But if you're talking about a 30-year-old that says that he knows how to speak, it's obviously not the same thing of Abba and Ima unless it's a very extreme case. You have to say that those exact words have a whole different connotation. Okay? Even though it's the exact same words. The question of whether Reuven actually did a chet because of ta'ava here, first we have to look at other contexts. So for example, Rav Nemetzal brings down that we know, what's the other example of someone who was almost seduced, right? Not only David, but also Yosef and Eshet Potiphar. Where we know the Gemara says that what happened, the Gemara Sota says that he saw the demut of his father, and he was able to overcome. And that the Gemara there says that if you will what, if you will falter, you will no longer have your name on the Avnei Choshen. Says Yosef, your brother is going to be written on the Avnei Ephod, and you're amongst them. Do you want to be wiped out? The implication from the Gemara is that the chait of arayot from ta'ava, there is a, it's mutually exclusive from being written on the av nechoshen. That's where the psukim by Yosef, it says midei avir Yaakov, that from the schut of Yaakov, it says misham ro'eh Eben Yisrael. Misham, from that schut, he was written on the Avnei Choshen. And we know that Reuven was written on the Avnei Choshen. So it might be a siman that Reuven actually didn't falter with the actual literal chait of the Arayot. That's one context, for example. However, if you want to see, but we do know that it was, and there's another, for example, the Ksav Kabbalah, Rav Yaakov Mecklenburg talks about again, of even in the Pshat, the word Vayishkav, because everyone, when you want to say the word Vayishkav, means literally having relations. But even there, the Ksav Kabbalah from the Pshat of the Psukim brings down, it says, Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav. And if the Pshat would be that he actually had relations, we know in Tanakh says the Ksav Kabbalah, it should have said Vayavo. He came into the tent to be able to have relations with her. Like we had Bo El Paro, go into Paro's house. By Yelech, the implication is what? That he took the bed out. Okay? So because of that, but still you're forced to what? You're still forced to explain what the chait is. And this is the classical, then, interpretation that says that the chait, there was a chait, but what? It's not the same chait as me and you in year 2016. And that's the concept, which is a broader discussion of how much does Chazal not jump to say that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Chazal himself, it's the slippery slope argument, to say it's true there was a chait, and what? There was a zilzul and kvod aviv. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is middakdek b'chut shel sa'ara, there on a higher level, we can't understand it. And therefore, what?
Wouldn't it be more so like we about the promotion of like getting around, like sitting around a higher standard?
Right, so they have a higher standard, and therefore there was a chait. There was a chait. And then the pshat, notice one second, the pshat in the Gemara, as kol ha'omer ruvein chote inu ela toeh, how Rav Nebuchadnezzar explains it, is it doesn't say that kol ha'omer ruvein in this specific circumstance is mistaken. What they're saying is, how do you view this? But their whole context of Tanakh, of understanding, look, you have to understand that they're exactly, Reuven wears the exact same pants of, whether it's, the brand, right? Whatever the brands are, I'm out of touch, right? Of what the actual brand is. No, that's when you're toeh. In this circumstances, did he mistaken? Of course he's mistaken, but it's not that's the perspective in how to learn Tanakh. Meaning, the other extreme, meaning if you go, I won't say extreme, but the point is that we know when Rashi quotes the Midrashim, they're always learning a message. What? Of saying that when there's kinah, there's like a good kinah. Don't say it's the same jealousy that me and you, type of jealousy of like of an eighth grader, right? Of being able just to be jealous. Now again, I think even if you learn that way, doesn't mean that they didn't understand that vayikaneh Rachel ba'achota, that she didn't have jealousy. It's just not to be able to make it as base hatred, base jealousy. The other, I won't say the other extreme, let's say within, we know, for example, the Ramban many times will say, no, she was jealous. And to be able to make it that much more human, and that's where Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch has the hashkafa to say, look, you have to understand that you need to have, I would say, these two, I think kosher hashkafa is to be able to have both of these outlooks, which is on one level to understand that these Rishonim, Chazal, the Avos are people that were not living with the internet and not living, They were in a different time of being able to talk with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore you can't transplant in a time machine and say they have the same machshavas as we do. At the same time, you know, even if you want to say it's some level of a contradiction, which I'm willing to live with, the Torah wrote it in a way for us to be able to relate to them. That they're not malachi. Lo nitna Torah l'malchi asharet, but to be able to have the idea that Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik because he had these certain level of what's called, of desires. Now, may not be the same sexual desires in the most lustful way as we have it, but in a way the Torah was written for us to understand, to also identify. Meaning, so on one level, they're not malachim where you can't do that. Again, some people write in the way that they're mamish malachim, and Rav Aaron Cutler would say, if you don't say they're malachim, your mom should not be chorus. And then you have the academics that are saying, these people are nothing, and postmodernism of saying that what? That they're just like me and you. They're not just like me and you. So you have that, I think, the on a certain level, paradox, but in a certain a healthy way of learning Tanakh, in the way that Rav Nevenzahl would say it, in the way of being able that you're trying to find Yirat Shamayim from them, understanding that Yehuda, Tamar, and David HaMelech are not just dumb people with sexual desires that can't control themselves. But it was written in a way for us to learn from it, but as humans, but at the same time to understand, you can't. They're not living in the MTV generation. You don't even know what MTV is, right? To be able to understand, you do know. Okay, they're not living in these this type of generation to understand. Ad Kan today. Tomorrow, we'll pick up a little bit more of this as the Gemara continued. I don't know if you went on. Did people go on in the Gemara? It talks about, we had a discussion last night, a couple of guys, about integrity. The Gemara talks about, am I a tzaddik? Is there a level that I can be a ramai? And then, please God, we'll continue moving on in the Agadata, try to finish this up tomorrow, getting on to Amud Beis. Okay, and then getting back to the Bechor, Notel Pishnayim.
What?
According to that opinion?
The Gemara explicitly said.
According to that one opinion?
No, whatever.
Say there are three opinions now, come on.
According to either one, though, does that mean, like, according to like the opinion that say, oh, they're not, they didn't really.
So the answer is, I should have said that. Even according to that opinion that he actually did do it, he might have had what's called an Aveiro Lishma. Like, we have that concept of doing, like, what David Batsheva with Uriah, they had in mind that way. And again, that's the type of thing that is not just a pure sexual, I saw her and I just couldn't hold myself back, but that's raw Orisha Mashiach. You have those midrashim to understand that there's greater things that are going on there.
But so how does one say that then? When the Gemara said it, so you can say that.
That's what he said.
He did do it, but.
He did do it, but he had it. Again, that's the point of having a greater context.
So you can't argue with the Gemara.
But that's only one opinion.
I say.
There's three opinions then in the Gemara.
Either I'm saying that one of the opinion 10.
Yeah, according to one opinion, yeah. You're right, 100%. It says the word of Vayishkav.
Everyone would agree that that did happen, but what.
But there was a greater context. 100%.
Okay, fine. So 100%. Yeah,